I wanted to speak about the topic of a Nazir tonight. The title was one piece of the topic, but I also wanted to introduce the topic generally speaking. The topic of Nazir is particularly interesting because it really represents, so it's the quintessence of Kedusha, and it's a topic that is not discussed as a general rule in our society, in our community. In fact, I would citing the well-known moral psychologist Jonathan Haidt of The Righteous Mind, the Western lexicon doesn't really even contain the notion of Kedusha. So I'll maybe talk about that a little bit at the end. But I want to first start at least by going through the parsha, pointing out many of the important details, and then come to talk about more specific aspects of Naziris and why, in fact, the Nazir is, in some contexts, called a sinner. The Torah introduces the parasha of Nazir by observing that Isha Isha Ki Afu Noneda Nazir Lazir Lashem. It's kind of interesting that a woman has to be mentioned in this context that she can take Naziris. The Sefrei talks about why the Torah had to state that in why you base Medrash lore, it is said that it is often a kolal entrance bechina question that Rav Shechter will give. We'll ask a student, can a woman be a Nazir? And the student will sit there drawing, well, yeah, maybe, no, okay, well, why not? It's his kind of mitzvah. And the answer is, well, the answer is the Torah says, Isha Isha Ki Afu Noneda Nazir. But that's not typically the language that's used to introduce something. Then the Torah begins, Pasuk Gimel, introducing Nazirus, Miyayin V'Shechar Yazir. Yayin and Shechar, it's a question of what exactly those two terms are, but the accepted tradition is, and this is true throughout the entire Torah, Shechar does not refer to beer, it refers to wine. Yayin, the Targum translates, Yayin is new wine, Shechar is old wine. New wine does not intoxicate, old wine does, wine that is fermented does intoxicate. And along with that is banned the vinegar that is made from wine. Unlike a Kohen who can't drink wine and do avoda, but can if he chooses, I don't know why he would drink vinegar and do avoda. So a Nazir is prohibited in anything that comes out of the wine, anything that comes out of the grapes. He can't even eat moist or dried, he can't eat grapes or raisins. So that's how the Torah introduces it. And then the Torah begins a section of basically three prohibitions, and interestingly enough, it really repeats the first one. Each of these three sections is introduced with Kol Yemei Nizro, or Kol Yemei Neder Nizro, or Kol Yemei Haziro Lashem. So the first one is Kol Yemei Nizro, anything that comes out of the Gefen Hayayin from Chartzanim to Zag, whether it's the seeds or the peel on the outside of the grape, he's not allowed to eat. So here the Torah repeats that the prohibition of wine, anything that comes out of the vine is prohibited throughout the entire Naziris. Now note that in the opening part, so the Torah there just said if a man or a woman chooses to be mafli, to spell out a neder nazir, so what they have to do is miyayim b'shechar yazir and other things that come from the grapes, from the grapevine. But here, it doesn't speak about the duration, it simply states almost as if that's the definition of Naziris, and I'll come back to that later. Whereas here, each of these is, okay, the following prohibitions apply during the course, during the entire duration of the Naziris. So first was the anything that comes out of the grapevine. Then Pasukei is the second. Kol Yemei Neder Nizro Ta'ar Le'Yavar Osho. A brazier shall not pass over his head until the days have been completed. Kadosh Yeh Gadel Peres Arosho. So there's a notion of Kedusha involved here as well. This is perhaps the most difficult of the Kedushas to understand, actually. It is somewhat obvious why, if one has thought about the definition of Kedusha, why wine would be involved in Kedusha. Certainly if you take Rashi's quotation of the Sifra on the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, Kedoshim to you, Rashi says Prushim. So you understand why it applies to wine. You can understand at least why Prushim applies to Tumas Meis, why that's important. It's a separate question, but you separate from something. But when it comes to the hair cutting, so that's somewhat odd, because what Kedusha is involved in not cutting one's hair? In fact, in general, it's hard to understand what exactly, how does the hair piece connect to the Naziris? If you think about it, there are three prohibitions in the Nazir, and those three prohibitions also exist. Those are, in effect, the three of the prohibitions of Kahuna. right? A Nazir can't drink wine. A Kohen is not allowed to drink wine b'shas avoda. A Nazir is not allowed to be metame lemeis. A Kohen is not allowed to be metame lemeis. Kohen gadol, just like a Nazir, Kohen hedyot, he can be metame to the relatives. Now, Kohanim also have an issue with hair, but it's the exact opposite. In other words, a Nazir has to grow his hair and is not allowed to cut it. A Kohen who does avoda with his hair overgrown, of perua rosh, is chayav misa. It's like he drank wine and did avoda. So it's interesting that the concern with hair is there in both cases, except for that when it comes to Nazir, it's totally flipped. Now, the answer, at least the way Chazal understood this idea of Kedusha, and it doesn't really explain the Kedusha of the Nazir, but Chazal understand that Kadoshiyah refers to the hair of the Nazir. If you look, I don't know if it says it in Maseches Nazir, but in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and probably in Kedusha, when they talk about it in Yukadish and Isha with Isur Hanah, so they mention in the list of things that are Asar Banah, Seir Nazir. Right, so we tend to think Seir Nazir refers to the hair that he cuts off at the end of his Nazirus and he burns in the fire, but the truth is it would appear it applies to all the hair of a Nazir. If a Nazir had hair that was falling out, that has Kedusha, it's Asir Bahano. So that's prohibition number two. And finally, prohibition number three is Kol Yemei Haziro LaShem Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo. He's not allowed to be Mitame LeMeis, and that includes father, mother, brother, sister, all the Krovim. The only exception, according to Chazal, is the same exception for Kohen Gadol, which is a Meis Mitzvah. But that's somewhat unique. Okay. And then you have a very interesting pasuk, Kol Yemei Nisro, Kadoshu LaShem Pasuches. This one is a little bit hard to understand. I think Rashi, as some of the Mefarshim say, that this refers, in other words, this could either go with the preceding section, in which case it's somewhat repetitive, or it could go as the introduction to the next section, which is a Nazir who becomes Tameh, meaning Kol Yemei Nisro Kadoshu LaShem. He has to be Kadosh for the entirety of his Nazirus period, and if he messes up in the middle, then everything falls, at least when it comes to Tumah, everything falls apart. The Sifrei here actually says that this pasuk really stands on its own. It doesn't belong to the previous section, it doesn't belong to the next section, but rather it refers to a special category of Nazir, known as a Nazir Olam. We'll talk about it very briefly, but there are at least, maybe not at least, I think there are three kinds of Nazirus. There's a regular vanilla Nazir, then there's something called the Nazir Shimshon, and then there's something called the Nazir Olam. So according to the Sifrei, this refers to a Nazir Olam, and therefore Kol Yemei Nisro Kadoshu LaShem, and if he's a Nazir Olam, that means forever and ever. Okay, so this is really the first section of the Parsha of Nazir, which describes what is entailed in Nazirus. Then we can deal with the problem of the Nazir who becomes Tameh. And here the parasha begins, V'chiyamus meis alav v'fesa pisom, which is a little bit odd in its own right, because pesa pisom seems to be a duplication. Both words seem to mean suddenly. And it's somewhat interesting, because here the description is that the Nazir becomes Tameh really out of his control. You know, Halacha talks about the din by Kohanim of Goses. Right, so you're not allowed to walk into an oel where there's a goses. The whole question, what the nature of that prohibition is. But a goses is someone who is teetering on the edge. Right, the rove gosesim die. He's not dead yet, but in this case, if Kohen entered the oel of a goses or a nazir did, and he became tummy, you'd understand why he is to blame. But here, the mace dies b'fes apisom, which is interesting. And what is the result? The result is the Timei Rosh Nizro. It's not clear who is being Metameh, the crown of the Nazir, as we might call it. Is it the mace, or is it the Kohen's obligation? Is it the Nazir's obligation, once he became Tameh, to shave his hair? And on the seventh day, not before the seventh day, to his Tumah, he goes through the Tara process of the Hazas Efer Paraduma Shlishi Ushvi, and on the seventh day, he shaves off his entire head. And then on the eighth day, he brings three karbanos. First, he brings two birds, one as an chatas and one as an ola. And then the Torah says in Pasuk Yeralav, "V'chiper alav me asher chata al hanefesh," and that's a very, very important pasuk for the Mefarshim and particularly for Chazal. What does that mean? The Kohen shall achieve atonement for him for that which he sinned al hanefesh. So the pshat, which seemed to be obvious, which is the nefesh meis, but there are two opinions as to how to read this particular verse. And then, afterwards, from that point on, he basically has to start again. So at that point, he has to bring one more karban, a karban asham. So he's brought an ola, a chatas, and an asham. And basically, he presses the reset button. So it doesn't matter. We assume that stam nazirus is shloshim yom. That smachta, that a person says, I want to be a nazir, and he doesn't specify an amount of time, then he's a nazir for 30 days. The Chazal based that upon the gematria of Yihyeh, Kadosh Yihyeh, and the gematria of Yihyeh is 30. But if a nazir says, I want to be a nazir for 100 days, he's a nazir for 100 days, it can't be less than 30 days. Even if you say, I'm a nazir for 10 days, you're still a nazir for 30 days. But if he says, I want to be a nazir for 100 days, he's a nazir. And if he accidentally winds up in the Ol HaMeis on day 99, so basically he starts all over.
Is it accidentally or intentional?
Makes no difference. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I would say it's a Kal V'Chomer
right. If
he does it. But even if it's accidental, you start all over again. Okay, so that's the section of a Nazir Shenitma. And in this case, the only context in which the Torah specifically speaks of the chait of a Nazir and a Kapara is in the context of a Nazir Shenitma, a Nazir who became Tameh in the interim. As an aside, if a Nazir shaves his head off in the interim completely, so he temporarily suspends his Naziris, I think if it's within 30 days of the end point, he has to have at least 30 days of hair growth in order to shave off the end. So I think if he shaved off more than 30 days before the end of his Naziris, it won't have an effect. But if he shaved off within 30 days of the end, he's going to actually, he won't lose all the time that he has accumulated, unless it's a 30-day Naziris and he shaves on day 29. But the Tiglachas is so ser, it undoes sometimes part of the count, but not like Tumah, which undoes the entire count. If a Nazir drinks wine, it doesn't undo anything of the count. He's just violated the Isser drinking wine. So now we come to the conclusion of the Naziris. And here the Torah really has a beginning and an end of the section, Vizos Taras HaNazir, and as is the last pasuk in the parasha, Zos Taras HaNazir. And here the Torah describes that on the day that he completes his Naziris, Yavi Oso a Pesach Valmoed, it's a very odd locution. Chazal commentary, Yavi Oso, what's the it? He shall bring it. Rashi here quotes from Chazal, Yavi Oso means he brings himself. To have it referred to the Taras HaNazir, as the karbanos, so Torah is feminine, so Oso would seem not to refer to that. But some of the Mefarshim say Oso just refers to his karbanos. Then the Torah describes that he has to bring three karbanos, each of them without a mum. One is an ola, one is a chatas, and one is a shlamim. You might ask the question here, of course, why is it that a nazir brings a chatas? Lefi pshuto shel mikra, a chatas is not necessarily a sin offering. It is an offering of purification. It doesn't necessarily have to have a sin associated with it. This is an issue that is certainly relevant. It comes up in other contexts. One of the famous cases where Chazal asked the question, why does an isha hayoledes bring a chatas? So the answer is given because when she's crouched over in childbirth in pain, she swears this, that, the other thing, whatever else. The pshat is that the chatas is for purification purposes, that she can enter the mikdash. It has nothing to do with sin. That might be true for mitzora, it might be true for zav and zava as well. But certainly, the only thing is that the nazir is a little different, because the nazir, there's no prohibition of the nazir entering the Beis HaMikdash, right? He's not tamei in any way that you require a chatas to purify. So that's a question, why does a nazir bring a chatas at the end? But he brings an ola, a chatas, and he brings a shlamim. And then along with the shlamim comes the sal hamatzos, in which he brings two kinds of bread. And this is actually somewhat interesting, that the nazir shlamim has bread. And the question is, why is that so? So the truth is, there are, I think, two ways of understanding the bread that is brought with the nazir's karban. Possibility number one, if you look back in Parshas Tzav, So there, the Torah, after describing a whole series of karbanos, v'zos taras, zos taras ha'olah, zos taras ha'chatas, zos taras ha'sham, zos taras evach ha'shlamim, and a karban tod, and then a regular shlamim, and somewhere there was a mincha that I skipped. And then at the end of Perek Zion, it says, zos ha'torah, la'olah, v'la mincha, v'la chatas, v'la ha'sham, v'la shlamim, v'la milu'im, u'la zavach ha'shlamim. You may recognize that pasuk from Kalkeli. And there, that's not the way you're supposed to know it, but... Now, there's something very odd in that sequence. Everything follows the sequence of the Torah of Zos Toras X. There's only one oddity there, the Miluim. The Miluim, there's a term Miluim used to describe, it's not unclear what exactly that does refer, what it refers to. Now, I believe that if you actually look at the Parsha, there's only one thing that's in the Parsha but missing from that list and belongs in the place where Miluim is, and that's the Karban Toda. And the reason for that, I believe, is that the Karban Toda and the Miluim and the Zevach HaShlamim of the Nazir all represent the completion of some type of a journey. In the case of the Miluim, in the Mikdash, it was the completion of the Beis HaMikdash. In the case of the Nazir, it's the completion of his time period. The Toda is a little bit more of a stretch, but nonetheless, I think if you take the way Chazal understood the purpose of a Karban Toda, it marks the end of a journey of some kind, either actual physical journey or a journey to freedom or a journey, you know, a process of having recovered from illness. So that's one possibility that actually, whenever you have a completion of a period, so the Torah demands that the Karban Shlamim, which in itself suggests completeness, actually has to have bread with it, which in effect makes it an entire meal. The other and there's one other also that fits that category, which is the only Karban Shlamim that was brought by the Tzibor, namely the Shnei Kvasim, the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres that were brought on Shavuos, and what was brought with the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres. In fact, in that sense, the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres were really secondary to what? The Shtei Halechem. There's only one other karban. Now, if the only alternative theory I can come up with is that basically a regular shlamim doesn't require bread, but every other kind of shlamim requires bread. There's only one other shlamim that I can think of that's not on the list of the four that I just gave: the miluim, the toda, the shtei kivsei atzeres, and the el nazir, and that would be the karban pesach, which also has to have bread brought with it. That's why it's al matzo semurim yochluhu. And those who have been doing zvachim already may recall from any number of instances in the Daf Yomi that a psachim is just a souped up shlamim, and when it's not the Erev Pesach, so a psachim reverts to being a shlamim. So I'm not sure, it's one of those two reasons probably that the karban, the el nazir, actually requires bread. Note, by the way, all those shlamim also do not have the period of 2 days and one night to be eaten. They are all much more restricted, a day and a night, or in case of the karban Pesach, maybe until chatzos. Fine, so now the Nazir brings his karbanos, and now he gets to the end process. What does he have to do? After the Kohen has done all of his avodah and Pasuk Tezayin and Pasuk Yudzayin, then the Nazir is Megaleach. He's Megaleach Pesach Ohel Moed. And he takes the Seir, Chazal say he's not Megaleach there, that would be inappropriate, that would be lack of kavod, it's a bizayon. So instead they explain how you get Pesach Ohel Moed, not our topic for now. And so the first of the three Surim, he is commanded to in effect violate, right? It's a very... So he's told to cut off his hair. And then the Kohen takes the Zorah B'Shelem and Ayil. He takes one of each of the breads. He does a Tnufa. And then if you get to the end of Pasuk Chaf, this is a very interesting expression. V'achar yishteh ha-Nazir yayin. The proper translation of this, of course, is, and thereafter, the Nazir may drink wine. There are some people who, of course, one could humorously read this, that in fact there's a mitzvah of a Nazir to drink wine afterwards. But I don't think, it's not counted in the money mitzvahs. Chazal don't say anything about it. I might humorously say that given the more recent fascination with all varieties of alcohol in the frum community in recent years, I would imagine there might be some people who would desire to take a vow of Nazirus just so they can be mekayim the mitzvah of Ve'achar Yishteh Nazir Yayin. Maybe it tastes different after you haven't had it for 30 days or brought karbanos, I don't know. So interestingly enough, you have three Surim of Nazir, one of which the Nazir must violate, one of which the Nazir may now violate, and one of which the Torah doesn't say anything about, which would make sense. You don't want the Nazir to be metame in the may, certainly not in the context of bringing his karbanos. But be that as it may, so the Torah closes the section, Zos Taras HaNazir Asher Yidor, and here the Torah opens the possibility, the way Chazal and Rishonim understand, is that a Nazir these karbanos of a nazir are a minimum, not a maximum. A nazir can say, "Hareini nazir amanas legaleach al x." I want to become a nazir so that when I complete my nazir's period, I will bring 100 karbanos, whatever it is. So the nazir is allowed to do so and is obligated to do so if he took such an eder. So in other words, these three karbanos, the chatas, the olan, the shlamim, are mandatory. Beyond that, obviously, he can't volunteer a chatas. I think what would be expected, actually, probably, would be marbe and the shlamim, but I guess he could also bring extra karbanos olam. Okay. So that, in a very brief overview, is the parsha of Nazir. Now, one of the things that I think becomes, would seem to emerge, when you look at all the passages in Tanakh, that speak about Nazir in one context or another, so they all really seem to recognize primarily one Isser. Now, one of the three Isserim, to the best of my knowledge, never emerges in Tanakh in the discussion, and that is the issue of Tumah. Tumah, who were Nazirim in Tanakh that we know of? I believe there were three. The most famous one, obviously, Bernie would tell us, is Shimshon. Okay? By Shimshon, Chazal have a debate whether he was allowed to be Metamei LeMeisim, but the pshat certainly was that he was, because he killed a lot of people. And we do assume that a guy is Metamei, at least B'maga over Masa. So you get all sorts of Midrashim who would justify one position, how Nazir and Shimshon never actually touched them. Okay, fine. Pshat is, he's prohibited in wine and hair cutting. Who else was a Nazir? What's that? So Shmuel is a machlokas. Chizkana says, "Umorah lo yale al rosho." I think it's the last mission of Nazir has a machlokas. What does Mora refer to? Fear or a razor? Pshat is a razor. There, at least, if Shmuel was a Nazir, and I leave him out of this because it's not clear that he was, then it would have mentioned only hair cutting. But Chazal are not so sure. Chazal debate the point whether Shmuel was actually a Nazir. And the third person who appeared to be some kind of a Nazir would have been Avshalom. Okay, and Avshalom, all we're told about is that he did cut his hair, actually. He used to cut it every so often. We'll come back to that. Now, when we look in Tanakh, so Nazirus in particular seems to be connected to one of those two Isurim, and I'll explain why in a moment. Chazal have a comment at the beginning of Sota about the order of the Masechtos and Seder Nashim. And the order as we have it in our Shas is the Darim, Nazir, and Sota. That Nazir is followed by Sota. And the Gemara comments, the Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Lama Nismecha Parshas Nazir, the Parshas Sota, Lomer Lachasha Kalaroa Sota Bilkukula, Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin. In other words, if the essential stimulus for Nazirus is Yayin. Right? Having long hair is not cause one to violate adultery. Being Tamei Lameis doesn't cause one to violate adultery. But alcohol certainly is a common inducement. And that would explain, Chazal don't state this, but in effect, I mentioned before that when you look at the structure of the parsha, the definition, the fundamental definition of Nazirus seems to be Miyayin V'Sheichor Yazir. Then the Torah says there are three prohibitions of a Nazir, Yayin, Tiglachas, and Tumah. But the essential definition of Nazirus is given in that introductory pasuk, which is set apart from what follows, and that is Miyayin V'Sheichor Yazir. If you look in Amos, in Perek Beis, it's under the second source from the bottom of the sheet. So the Navi says, God says, I did some very good things for you. I made some of your children prophets, I made some of them Nazirim, which presumably if a Navi is a positive thing, so too is a Nazir. And what happened? Vatashku es hanazirim yayin, val hanaviyim tzivi semle mar lo tinavu. In other words, what happened with the prophets? You basically took away the essence of prophecy. You told them to keep their mouth shut. And what does it say by Nazirus? You took away, presumably, the essence of Nazirus, which is you, in effect, forced them to drink wine. So here, the way you define the violation of Nazirus is by drinking wine. When you go to Shimshon, so Shimshon's mother was given instructions by the Malach. Ve'atohi shamri nov al tishti yayin v'sheichar v'al tochli kol tamei. She's told basically, I don't know what al tochli kol tamei means, but it's clear what she's told. I mean, that may mean don't eat non-kosher food, presumably. But of the isurim of nazir, she's told not to drink wine. Now Shimshon himself, as the Malach says, turning the sheet over, kihinach haravi oladet bein, you're going to give birth to a child. Umorolo yale al rosho, a razor shall not go up on his head. Ki nazir elokim yineh hanar min abeten v'yachalo shi'as yisrael miyat plishtim. I presume, although it doesn't say, because I'll certainly assume Shimshon wasn't allowed to drink wine either, and certainly the Navi, of all of Shimshon's escapades, they don't seem to have anything to do with wine. Shimshon's, you know, Bernie, you said in the shir earlier tonight that the one thing Shimshon could never figure out was himself. I would dispute that. Shimshon could also never figure out women. Doesn't say anywhere that it was a wine issue. And presumably he was prohibited to drink that. But what's interesting is that when his mother is warned, she's not told not to cut her hair while she's pregnant with Shimshon. She's told not to drink wine. Are we? Questions?
Who made him a nazir?
He was the God divine, dictated he was a Nazir. It's for that reason that there's a very unusual din in halacha. One should never say that I am a Nazir Shimshon, because a Nazir Shimshon has no heter. In other words, if you may even notice in the Hataras Nadarim, some have in brothers chutz mi nazir Shimshon, because there's no heter, because Shimshon had no heter for his nazirus, because it was imposed upon him by God. So therefore, if a person except any neder has heter except for nazirus Shimshon, what's that? That might have heter with the consent of the rabbin. It's only hard to get it. Conceptually, it has heter. Nazir Shimshon conceptually has no heter. And one finds in addition, that there are, of the three surim of Nazir, the Mishnah observes this, shalosh mitzvos benazir, but only one of them has no het, is not putar mechlalo. Tumah is prohibited to a Nazir, but he's metame for a meis mitzvah. Tiglachas is prohibited for a Nazir, but, number one, if he has a Tiglachas shel mitzvah, if he becomes a Mitzorah in the middle, his count is suspended, not undone, and he goes through the process which includes shaving off all the hair on his body, and you see that a Nazir Olam, which is under source 4, learned from Avshalom, a Nazir Olam it shaves once a year. Right, so someone who's a Nazir Olam will never actually reach the completion of Nazirus until he dies, in which case the Nazirus is over, but for other reasons. He does cut his hair. But wine, there's no circumstance under which a Nazir may drink wine. Even Yayin Shel Mitzvah, the Sifrei and the Gemara point out, are prohibited. Yayin Shel Kiddush, that may only be the Rabbanon. Nazir is never, Yayin is the one Isser of a Nazir that is not Hutar Mechlala, which would make sense if you assume that the essential definition of what a Nazir is in fact about Yayin. Okay. So now I want to talk a little bit about the chait of the Nazir. What exactly is the sin of a Nazir? Unklus writes, source number 6, that v'yaved kano chad l'chatasa v'chad l'alasa v'yichapar Elohim midechav al misa. So Unklus says that asher chatal ha-nefesh refers to al nefesh meis lo yavo. Right? Even though the word that's used in the pasuk is v'chiyamus meis alav b'fes apisom, so that's what Unklus does. He says, "Achsher chatal nefesh is al misa." That nefesh that's referred to in a sin is v'chiyamus meis alav b'fes apisom. And that would certainly be the pshat, and we might not have commented on that if not for a gemara that we'll look at in a moment after we take a look at the Ramban. Now the Ramban here addresses a different question. Not why the Nazir is described as Asher Chatal HaNefesh, but rather why is it that a Nazir brings Chatos at the completion of his Nazirus. And the Ramban writes the following. He says, V'tam HaChatos SheYakriv HaNazir B'yom Melos Yemei Nisrael Lo Nisparish. The Torah doesn't give the reason why a Nazir has to bring a Chatos. V'yalderech HaPshat Ki HaIsh HaZeh Chotei Nafsho B'melos HaNazirus. The Nazir's sin is when the Nazirus is over. Ki Hu Ata Nazur Mikdushaso V'Avodas Hashem. He is, when he finishes and stops being a Nazir, he now becomes separated from his sanctity and from his avod of God. V'ro'i ha'yalo she'yazir la'olam. He should have taken the Ziris Olam. V'yamot kol yamav Nazir v'kadosh le'lokav. All of his life he should be a Nazir and holy to God. Ke'inyan sha'amar v'akim ibnechem le'nevi'im u'mibachurechem le'nezirim. Hishva oso ha'kasov le'navi. Okay, and therefore the Ramban says, "Uchtasiv kol yemei Yisrael kadoshu l'Hashem, v'hinehu tzarech kapara b'shuvo lehitamei b'ta'avas ha'olam." Right, so the Ramban says that when it's over, so he now returns to the desires of the world, and that is a sin. Now the Ramban doesn't say this, but if you were to speak about the three isurim, which one or ones would fall under what we would term ta'avas ha'olam? Wine. Right, and in Chazal's discussion as well, so Yayin is front and center. And the Gemara in Tainis quotes Amar Shmuel, Kalayoshe b'Tainis nikrachote. Anyone who volunteers upon himself a Tainis that he doesn't have to observe is considered a sinner. Savar ki hatana d'Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Akapar b'Rabbi Omer. Rabbi Lazar Akapar said, Matal malomar v'chiper alav me'asher chatal anefesh, v'chi be'ez anefesh chatazeh. What did the Nazir do wrong? Ela shetzir atzmo min hayayim. He simply, there was one pleasure he denied himself, which was the pleasure of wine. Halo dvarim kal v'chomer. Umazesh lo tzir atzmo elem en hayayin nikrachote hamitzar atzmo mikol dover odover alachas kama v'chama. Certainly, if he's anything else, Bernie.
Chatas brought from Shoge?
Normally?
Can you bring a chatas from Mesa?
Not a regular chatas chela, but there are chatos that are brought from Mesa. The chatas olaviyoreid, for example, is brought on Shvuas Ha'edus and Shvuas Ha'edus, even b'meizid.
This isn't that kind of chatas.
No, it's clear it's not that. There's no obvious sin in this case. There's no obvious sin in this case that the pshar, again, chatas of a nazir is. Pashtus is some kind of purification, but it's not entirely clear what. But pshat is certainly not a sin. The same issue is discussed by Yoledes, right? The pshat is that the chatas of Yoledes is purification, not for sin. So that's what's interesting. And when you let me read the end of the section here, and I'll comment on it. So he says, then quotes Rabbi Elazar Omer, and I think in this sifrei it's Rabbi Shmuel, Nikra Kadosh, Shenemar Kadosh Yegadel Parasar Shal Risho. Umazesh Shlotzir Atzmo Elamidavarecha Nikra Kadosh, Amitzar Atzmo Yikoldar Alachas Kama Bakama. And this is a much more extreme statement. This is a statement about asceticism. And the Gemara says, Ulu Shmuel Haikri Kadosh. So, what do you mean? How can Shmuel say Nazir Zachote? He's called a Kadosh. It's really a question for Rabbi Elazar Akapar. The Gemara says, Ahu Agido Perakoi. It's only talking about the hair. The hair is Kadosh. The Nazir isn't Kadosh. Ulu Rabbi Elazar Hanikra Chote? So the Gemara says, Ahu Desayiv Nafshe. It's specifically talking about the one who was Nitma. And if you look actually in the Sifrei, the language of Rabbi Yishmael, who is instead of Rabbi Elazar, is Bin Nazir Tamei HaKasa Medaber. So Danny, to answer your question, the assumption, even though it's a difficult reading of the Sifrei, and I think it's true at the end here in the Sugya, is that Rabbi Elazar Kapar understood that the Chet refers to the Chote is even a Nazir Tahor, even though it's being described there. Some have said that the reason why the chait is described there is because it's now a basically allowed a situation that could compound itself and he gets hit with a double whammy. So here what you have in effect seems to be a larger dispute about the nature of asceticism and the Torah's attitude towards it, although I'll point out later there probably are ways of bridging it. But right now, the way the Gemara sees it, at least, is that a Nazir is either a Kadosh or is a Chotei. It has to be one or the other, but I would suggest that it is possible, there are two other possible resolutions. One being that a Nazir is that one is that there's a way of being a Nazir. Well, the two different possibilities of how You could be a Nazir who is a Kadosh or a Nazir who is a Chote. We'll come to that in a moment. But certainly, this seems to represent a trend towards a debate over asceticism. But note again that the only Isser of Nazirus that's really involved in this fundamentally is wine. I would suggest that I'm not going to elaborate further that I think that the Kedusha of a Nazir, the Pshat is, does refer to wine. The issue of Tumas Meis is not an issue of Kedusha, but it's an issue of Tahara, which is another value that doesn't, a notion that doesn't really exist in the Western lexicon. And that's one I think that even we might have at least a harder time. It takes a little more time to grasp. Kedusha is not hard to grasp. I'll come back to that at the end. Okay, but now, and the cutting of the hair seems to be something totally different, and we'll come to that at the end as well. So now, the Sforno has a suggestion, a very interesting comment. He says, Ki Afli, source 9, Yafrish Atzmo Min Havle V'Tanugo Svenei Adam. He separates himself from the nonsense and the pleasures of people. Lindor Neder Nazir, Lios Nazir Uparish Min HaTanugam HaMurgalim. To separate himself from the regular pleasures. And then, if you look at Miyayim V'Sheichor Yazir, he says, Lo Yisagef Atzmo B'Tzom. Shememayit B'lech HaShalayim K'Devrei Mzal. You don't fast. It's not total asceticism, a total withdrawal that inhibits your functioning and serving God properly. Velo yitzar gufo b'makos prushim, and you don't engage in self-flagellation. Keminog tzivuim v'komarim, monks and priests, avo yafrish atzmo min hayayin shebizehu m'maydes hatifla ma'od u'machnei yitzro v'liyatish kocho b'zeh klal. In other words, the Torah demands one specific form of restraint. Or of asceticism, you call it, and that's with respect to wine. Because of everything that wine happens to bring along with it. And that's enough. That separation is enough to, on the one hand, not weaken him in any way in terms of functioning in life, but it causes his yetzer to be muchna, and it causes him to be somewhat more inhibited.
Yain is such an important part of our tradition, whether it's the kosher bracha, kind of in brachat mazon.
Yes, but nonetheless, yayin comes with the downside as well. So I find this hard to relate to personally because I'm not an alcohol drinker, but I know a lot of people who really enjoy it very much. So Chazal don't seem to be concerned with the yayin shel mitzvah, right, that they put aside. So.
I understood that in ancient times, water was not
drinking. So I don't want to spend much on that. People did not drink water because it was dangerous to drink water. They used to drink their wine diluted. Many people have said, and it's incorrect, that their wine was much stronger, which is essentially impossible, because wine can't get much beyond 18% alcohol, in which case it stops fermenting. That requires special processing to do so. Their wine was probably much weaker than ours, and they diluted it, but it seems that there was just enough alcohol that they put in it to kill the bacteria, and that's why they were able to drink it that way. So yes, but there was, yayin was certainly associated with simcha as well. But yayin yisamach levav enosh. Right? There's certain. What's that?
They essentially drinking water, wine, and then they had like.
I don't know. Chazal don't seem to have thought that drinking wine straight was normal. But you can drink enough diluted wine that eventually you can get drunk on that.
So I'm questioning, like the Nazir, what would he drink?
The truth is. Number one, he probably could have drank spring water. Number two, probably most people, it depends on the context, get most of the water they need from food. But people did drink water. It's not that it didn't, but
you had boil water.
What? Yeah, but I don't think they realized that boiling would necessarily protect them. So anyway, I don't know what the Nazir, I guess the Nazir would drink water. I mean, Shimshon's one case of drinking in the story in Tanakh is when the Machtesh Asher Balechi, he ends up drinking a miracle's performed and he gets water. Okay, so Sforno presents then one way of understanding the Kedusha and the Chet. He doesn't spell this out explicitly, but a Nazir can be a Kadosh because he, in effect, he's poresh, he's a little bit ascetic. He's not totally ascetic. Presumably, he would understand the chait as the chait of a nazir, as nazir is a chote, the way Unklus did. That doesn't actually refer to the nazirus, but he is sensitive to Rabbi Lazar HaKapor's issue of asceticism. The other way of understanding this is the way what the Rambam presents in the last halacha Hilchos Nesirus, and it's really based upon a story that appears in the Tosefta, it appears in the Sifrei, and there's a line that the Rambam himself doesn't actually quote, but the Sifrei really explains that there can be two kinds of Nazir. There's a Nazir as a Kaddish and a Nazir as a Chotei. It all depends why you took the Nazirus. And the comment that the Sifrei makes is on the Pasuk, Isha Isha ki aflilin darneda Nazir, lehazir lahashem. That if a Nazirus is done l'shem Shamayim, then that Nazir is a Kaddish. If the Nazirus is done for the wrong reasons, the Nazir is a Chotei. The Rambam writes, HaOmer HaReini Nazir Im Esa Kach B'Kach O Im Lo Esa Chayotze B'Zeh, which is it's like a betting. He said, plenty odds, you know, where he's using it as leverage to something else. In other words, I'll torture myself if I don't do X, if I do X, because I don't want to do those things. HaReze Rasha U'Nazirus Kazom U'Nazirus Rishanhu. He's a Rasha. You're not supposed to take Nadarim. A Nazir is a Chotei. Aval anoder Lashem derech kedusha hareza no nae umeshubach. Ba'alzenemar nezer Elohav Arosho kadoshu Lashem v'shiklo akasuf kenavi. He's compared to a navi. Va'akim imneichem leneviim umibachureichem lenezirim. And this is actually based upon the story of Shimon HaTzadik. I'm not going to read it, but Shimon HaTzadik, who never ate from the karbanos of a nazir except for one. And who was this one? It was this young man who Shimon HaTzadik asked. He asked, he had beautiful curls. He said, why did you do this? So he told the story that once he was looking into the, he was drawing water, looking into the water, he saw his reflection. And he saw and was overwhelmed in effect by his own beauty. And he realized that that desire had come over him. You might say vanity had come over him, like Yosef was in the Sal Sal Basaro. And he right then I took a Nazirus that I would cut it off Lashamayim. Now what is interesting that this comes back to what I spoke about earlier is it almost seems like the purpose of the hair by the Nazir is not that a Nazir his Kedusha by not cutting his hair. It's actually the cutting of the hair at the end that strips the Nazir of his vanity, of his beauty, which in fact what the Nazirus is aimed at in the context of the hair. That's all I can say about that. I wanted to come back to sort of one last point just to talk about the question of Kedusha. And what is the meaning of Kedusha, and particularly as exhibited by the Nazir in Yayin. So the Ramban, in his famous passage on the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, explains, not like Rashi, that Kedoshim refers to the Arayas in Parshas Kedoshim, but rather that the Torah only prohibits certain things, certain foods, certain types of sexual prohibitions, but everything else a person could basically spend his life in pursuit of the pleasures. The Ramban does not argue for asceticism, but he argues for restraint. And if you want to understand what the significance, why is it important to be restrained? And that's why is it that once I have fulfilled my obligations, I don't eat trey food, what's wrong with stuffing my face at the shul kiddush and then going home and having a second meal after that? What's wrong? It's all mutter. I make bracha, bracha rishona, bracha achrona. And I think the answer is that the Medrash tells us that there's three ways in which human beings are more like Malachi Asharis, and three ways in which human beings are like animals. And what Kedusha actually means is that we desire or we aspire to be more like the angels and less like the animals. Everything in life for us is a struggle between those two extremes. And yes, one can eat like an animal, although even animals don't eat once they're no longer hungry. But nonetheless, that isn't what we aspire to, even if the Torah permits it. We really aspire to sort of emphasize the angelic parts, because in effect, by doing so, we fulfill the one case in the Torah where imitatio Dei, where imitating God is actually explicit. It's often quoted by Chazal that gemilas chasadim and other things are imitatio Dei, but it doesn't say that in the Torah. That's not explicit. There's only one thing that the Torah says we should do, because it makes us, because it's to be like God, which is Dabero kol das bnei Yisrael alehem kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani Elokechem. And therefore, being our aspiring for Kedusha, in effect, is at least an attempt to minimize our animal side and to be more like the angels. And that, in fact, is what the Shebach of the Nazir, that is what his Kedusha is about.
So that's right. Follow that, like, thought for any source that extends the idea of zeros beyond wine to meat or to
any other pleasurable item to say, I got me a nuzer for that. So I'm making a
there is nothing in neder, but if you want to think about at least a remiss to that, think about Ben Soramora and Zolel Vesove, where meat is included in that. So, okay.
All right, thank you very much.